Deep cuts are slated for Canada Post, including the impending end of door-to-door delivery for many Canadians. The Postal Workers Union is facing the loss of up to 8,000 jobs and its own potential demise. Jean-Claude Parot was in the Postal Service for over 35 years. During that time, he was national president of the Canadian Union of Postal Workers for 15 years. During his term as president, Parot took on the government of the day more than once. In 1980, he spent 2 months in jail when he refused to tell postal workers to return to work. Parot is now retired and lives in the Ottawa area. Jean-Claude, you have been a longtime national president of CUPW, as well as active in the union for decades. Have you ever seen anything like the intentions of this government towards dismantling Canada Post?
Well, there was a time which was pretty heavy too, in the sense that, first of all, at the beginning, we didn't even have the right to negotiate, so we had to fight for that. We had to go out on strike to get the right to strike. We had to, and then we had to do a lot of strikes to simply move on forward, such as obtaining equality between men and women, obtaining same salary for part-time and full-time workers based on their hours of work, etc., and many other, so night workers. There was certain things that needed to be done that took a lot of time to get. And with the introduction of technology, automation at the time we were calling, we had also to protect the jobs, so we obtained a reduced work week. But it was very important that we do that this was done, because if all the benefit of new technology, of automation or whatever, it goes only to the employers, then there's something wrong. And I think the workers are entitled to a share of that. And this is the basis on what we started all the old struggle in the 60s and 70s especially, 70s and 80s especially. And from there on, we kept moving forward, but not at the same speed. But now what we are seeing, it's a prime minister, a premier from Canada, who came from being the spokesman of a multinational when he was the spokesperson of the National Citizen Coalition, which is a coalition where all the board members came from multinational. And he was against everything that we were achieving at the time, against women expectation, against part-time workers' expectation. He never objected to workers being exploited in the rest of the world. So that money came in the pocket of the people he was representing. And today, having him there, he's obviously trying to kill everything that had been done properly. And never mind the law that exists, and never mind the situation that Canada have signed agreements internationally at the ILO and other places. He doesn't care about anything, environment, trade union rights, labor rights, workers' individual rights. It's incredible. So it is clear that it is a situation that requires a stronger struggle than ever right now. And for that, I think the leadership has to pull it together, and some I know have started to do that, obviously. There's more and more coalition between the unions on some of the things that are happening. But I think it goes even further than just those who are in the trade union movement right now. It's an attack on everything, on the money for people retired, on the we got poverty that's going to continue to increase because the cuts to all kind of programs that were helping people that were in situation of poverty. So we got a premier that worked for the multinational friends, the stockholders, as we know. And that's all what he does. And he doesn't care about the rest. And people sometimes, because he always say, I know about how to make work economy. Well, economy, which one economy is talking about? The one of his friends or the economy for the people? And it is clear that there is no economy for the people in what he's talking about. And it is why there is a need to do a big struggle. He can even attack the rent formula to ensure that the workers will benefit from the fight that the unions do for them, will not have to pay their dues, and that's what trying to help to break the unions, etc. This is incredible. It is an anti-union person. It is an anti-people person. It doesn't care about anyone. Anti-environment, anti-everything that we can think of. So it's a big struggle, and the whole labor movement has, and not only the labor movement, but the whole social movement has to really get together to address that issue more than ever. Yeah.
What about tactics, as far as we can discuss them, for CUPW and the attack that's just basically on them? Speaking to your members or to your former members, is it just a matter of waiting out Harper until 2015, or what do you do until then to keep CUPW alive and vibrant?
I think it is important that the members be all very well informed what the union is doing and what is about to do if it is things that are not being done right now. I think it's very important also that we address more than just the five-day delivery at home. We have to address the fact that the cut of that will also affect the number of jobs. There will be more unemployed people in all communities that have delivery at home across the country. And these people will not then pay taxes, but they will obviously have the provincial governments or the local government to pay for the impact of all this, while the federal government will just have cut a lot of jobs and say we're doing better financially. I think it is important that we make sure that all the issue, like increasing the rates at $1 for the mail, is basically saying we want to get rid of the post office. This is all the plan of Canada Post, which is the plan of the Conservative government of Harper. That plan has for goal that we'll be able to privatize whatever will be left of the post office that will be beneficial, and we're going to be left with what is not what doesn't make profit. Well, obviously, if you cut the part that make profit, we're going to have deficit in the post office. And this is absolutely wrong what they're doing. There's no doubt in my mind. It's not a winning strategy for the economy, for the people that work in the post office, for the people that receive the service from the post office, and for the people who are looking for jobs in the future.
At a time like this, it might be a good exercise to simply to look at the post office as an institution. We are, you know, as they're saying, in a period of declining volume. What kind of tactics, what kind of money making, if you think the post office needs to be a company that makes money, what do you suggest as a potential remodeling or adding on to this service?
But up to now, they are still making money. We got a government that have decided that when we became a crown corporation, the post office, they said we have to break even. Since that time, the government have interpreted breaking even as returning money to the government, I think when 10 or 15% minimum every year. Well, we asked the invest money in parcel business. They didn't want to do it. We could have had a much better postal service in regard to parcel today than we have right now, even if we have a good one. And I think that's an area that is increasing. The volume are increasing in regard to post office business on parcel. So, and the other thing is there's a lot of publicity being used in the post office. And many of them love the mail because it goes to the door of everybody. It's more red, probably, than some other stuff. So the other thing is sit down with the workers, and they will bring a new idea. I went to 1 year. I went to Australia. I came back to Canada and said, in Australia they have banking in the post office. They have they're selling envelopes in the post office. Can you believe that in Canada we still don't even sell an envelope to the people in the post office? But they allow all the subpost office that they have given contract to sell whatever they want. But us, on a post office that belongs to Canada Post, we have no right to sell an envelope, except the one that is a stamp already printed on them. And there's no other things. While everybody else have all kind of stuff they sell that help. But the banking service was one that was being used many years ago with the post office, especially with the military. But I think workers that are there could provide that service. And there's a lot of places, there's no bank, or there's no bank close. So these are just a couple of examples. And on the banking service, there was already studies saying that that is feasible and it would be a good thing. On the parcel business, it is clear that there is a future there. And then there's other ways to address any other issues. But the thing is, it should not be a goal to make money for the government. They are the one who are telling us all the time, the public service are not there to make money. But when it comes to the post office, they want money to be returned to the government. And if one year we cannot do it, which didn't happen for 18 years for sure, at least, they say, the post office is not a good public service anymore. Well, you cannot have it both ways. And I believe that the post office can make money, but you have some time to do like the private sector, invest in it if you want to make money with it.
Now, we hear often about examples of Canada Post Corporation and the government basically shackling the ability of the company to make money or to at least break even. Can you provide some examples of how the corporation itself has rendered itself non-competitive?
Oh, yes. Well, the example I used a few minutes ago about on the parcel business. We were the only one with the railways delivering parcel in the past. When we became a crown corporation, we asked that they invest, and so we increased the our facility to be able to get in the parcel business. Instead of that, they encourage their friends in the whether it's all the others to take over Canada Post on this. And still, we have been able to continue with what we had to deliver parcel. But that was an example. But the increase in stamp size now is a good example how they want to destroy it. The people won't choose the post office anymore for their letters, that's for sure. So it is important that we address that also. It doesn't make sense that they jump the way they have jumped the rates for a letter. But their friends who have a meter with Pitney Bowes, and by the way, someone at the top of Canada Post, I've worked there before, they have a meter, they won't pay that $1. So only the general public will pay $1. So when someone said, and I think CPW said it well, that it is a plan to destroy the post office, not to make it work in the future. And I'm sure there are a lot of other examples we can find, but I can't think them all of them right now, but it is clear to me that we have had so many problems with Canada Post in regard to service to the people, their refusal to improve the service, and the encouragement to give to the private sector what is beneficial is a good example of that. That line that we cannot compete with the private sector doesn't make sense if on the other hand they want us to make money.
And then perhaps finally, in your research, what kind of connections have you found between the government, Canada Post executive, and the private sector? Like those clear lines of who they're benefiting, if not the workers and if not the general public. Who is benefiting from dismantling Canada Post?
Okay. On that, I know that there was some links where the people that have been appointed at the other corporation came from a certain place that benefit, obviously. We had the previous woman who was here before that went to, she went to England for that. She was the same. She came from somewhere. But I'm not being retired for 12 years. There's obviously some things I don't know for sure. I don't know exactly the detail. I got them like everybody else through the grapevine. So what I suggest is on that, you speak to the president, the actual president of CPW, who will give you more information in that regard. And but there's no doubt in my mind that we know that there was a link with Pitney Bowes, there was a link with... Oh, there's another one. Skip my mind right now. But ask, because they work on that. They did make some research, but I don't have them with me right now.
Okay, and then finally, what would be your message to current union members, CUPW members that are, you know, facing cutbacks as early as this fall, ending door-to-door delivery service in some neighborhoods?
Well, first, I would say that, first of all, this is a struggle that has to be taken on. And therefore, there is an important role of leadership at all levels of the union, local, regional, national. And it is important that all the leadership have faith in the members and in the public, because my experience of the past, we were successful very often in moving ahead by showing we had faith in people that work and in the people that use the service. And I think it is important that it is, that is done. And if we do that, it means we're going to be, we are forced to give full explanation to the people as to where we're going, what we're doing, how we are doing it, what we intend to do, how we will proceed. And I think the more we give that kind of information, it makes the members realize that we know where we're going. And when the people see that you know where you're going, they're going to be there with you if there's a fight that is needed, a struggle that needs to be developed. So that is quite important to me. Now, I think for the members themselves, it is to continue to talk about the fact that it doesn't make sense what is happening right now, that they were providing a good service to the people. And the service was not only the delivery of mail, but how many older people were happy to have their letter carrier to come and check, make sure that everything was fine in their place. And that happened regularly. I always admired the letter carrier of doing this on a regular basis. If someone didn't pick up the mail for 2 or 3 days, well, they were wondering if something was wrong, and they were checking. I think it's also showing that there is an interest in the people that work in the post office to provide a good service, always.
Okay, Monsieur Perrault, thank you so much for your time, and I wish you a great day.
Okay, thank you very much. Bye.
Bye. That was Jean-Claude Perrault, past president of the CUPW.